You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Yeah.
Into 104.5 The Zone on this Thursday. Hope you're having a tremendous day so far. I know we are having a lot of fun. Lucas lied to you in this sports update.
I knew you were going to do this. I didn't lie.
You're a liar.
There are no lies.
You lied to people from my Twitter account today when you said that Derrick Henry had 1 year left on his deal. Instead, he has two. You lied to people. At the top of the hour, when you said you had the latest in breaking news.
My phone buzzes with the Titans preseason schedule the moment I finish the update.
Sucks to suck. So, yeah, we have news. I'll give it to you instead of Lucas. I don't know why that delights me the way that it does. There's no reason for it. It's just, I'm literally going to say it a minute later than you do. Not even. 10 seconds later than
you do. It's because it irks me. That's why it delights you, which I understand.
Yeah, I mean, the whole premise of the show is how can everybody come together collectively to piss me off, and then we make content out of that.
Very healthy work environment.
Thank you. My doctor thanks you for my blood pressure issues. Thank you very much. At 28 years old, got the blood pressure of a 60-year-old. Anyway, so yeah, we have a little bit of news. Do you want to play the breaking news sound? Do you want to do it?
Oh, breaking Titans news on 104.5 The Zone.
I want to make our own version of those, by the way. The same way that we have the opens. I want to get rid of that guy altogether. We have preseason dates, official dates and times for the Titans. So Thursday, August the 11th, they open up their preseason schedule at Baltimore. It's a 6:30 p.m. Central Time kick. You've got two Saturday preseason games here in Nashville, hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Both of those two teams expected to take place or to participate in preseason in joint training camp practices, as Mike Vrabel outlined at the owners' meeting. So yeah, keep an eye on that. There, I got the breaking news before Lucas did. Makes me very happy. Let's talk about the thing that I discussed earlier with, or I guess that would have been yesterday, with Jeremy Fowler's reporting. He does like these kind of notebook articles for ESPN where he just details a whole lot of different information, bits and pieces of news that he's hearing across the league. And what he mentioned yesterday was a pretty... an interesting note, not because it's something actual concrete, just something that's being considered right now by the Tennessee Titans. And what's currently being considered by the Tennessee Titans, or rather, as Jeremy Fowler stated, what they are open to is a potential extension for Derrick Henry on his current deal. Now, Derrick's current deal keeps him under contract for this coming season and for 2023. The cap hit is $15 million this year and $15.5 next year. It is interesting because of the idea that it's completely unnecessary. It's not necessary at all. The Tennessee Titans benefit none from extending Derrick. Now, that's not a emotional, that's obviously not an emotional decision. It would be received well by the fans if Derrick Henry is kept under contract here as long as humanly possible, depending on the price point, because people love him, rightfully so. You should love Derrick Henry. He's been the greatest asset that your football team has had in the last four seasons. And maybe we'll say 3.5 seasons just because Derrick wasn't available for half of last year. But this is the exact blurb on contract deals that have yet to be done across the league. And there's a great many names that are mentioned. But under the wild card section, there are five names. Baker Mayfield, a Buffalo Bills player to be named later, because there's three who are going to be unrestricted free agents after 2023. Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker, tight end Dawson Knox, who, of course, Nashville people know, and safety Jordan Poyer. Hunter Renfrow, Elton Jenkins, the offensive line for the offensive lineman for the Packers, and then Derrick Henry. What Jeremy Fowler writes of Derrick Henry, he has 2 years left on his current contract, and running backs typically don't get paid early, but I'm hearing the Titans are at least open to a possible new deal with Henry. Henry has salaries of, or has a cap hit of $15 million in 2022 and 15.5 in 2023. The Titans could lessen those two cap hits by extending him by a year or two, and they could build in escape hatches if Henry declines in his 30s. But right now, Derrick Henry is still considered the top running back in the game. So, how are we to receive this? Because my initial reaction was, oh, okay. Like, I mean, if they can do it cost effectively, you can still find ways to use Derrick, even if at whatever point it happens, not saying it's this year, not saying it's next year, not saying it's the next 5 years, but whenever Derrick Henry ceases to be special, right? Because it's coming. It comes for all of them. It came for Peyton Manning, where he's a corpse out there being carried by an incredible Broncos defense to a Super Bowl title. It happened, well, it didn't happen to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the one exception to the rule. It happens to literally everybody but Tom Brady at this point. And running backs in particular are more prone to this because of just how physical and violent the nature of their job is. Then I had some time to think about it last night. Because immediately the YouTube chat starts up, Derrick Henry will, or the King will always be special. It's a PR win. If Derrick Henry retires a Titan, people will love John Robinson and Mike Vrabel forever for it. Because Derrick Henry means something to Titans fans in a way that probably, I mean, there's not another player on the roster that means, that has the place in Titans fans' hearts the way that Derrick Henry does, right? Jeff Simmons may have that. As he gets further in his career, A.J. Brown could have had that.
Kevin Byard's close to me.
I think, not to take anything away from Kevin, but it's just, I think it's the nature of position that they play, safety versus really any offensive player that scores touchdowns, right? Because Kevin can make interceptions, he can get pick sixes, and he can do that, but it's, you're going to gravitate more towards the offensive scoring, the big play highlights. You're not seeing highlights of a safety on SportsCenter.
The local aspect of Kevin's background too helps.
Sure. He's on the medal stand, right? If you're going to do top 3 Titans,
Mount Rushmore.
Oh god. I mean, I set myself up for that. I can't even get mad at you for saying that. No. We're over a year into this radio show without having done a Mount Rushmore. I refuse. You cannot make me. Under any circumstance.
Now, I'll rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Caleb Farley. We are aligned in this regard. No Mount Rushmores. Ever. Ever. Now, everybody else can do it. I don't have a problem with anybody else doing it. I won't do it. Can't make me. Until June. But, you're right. Middle Tennessee, Kevin Byard, third round pick, they have the local day for the prospects, like Theo Jackson. And Kevin Byard turns out to be an all-pro caliber player. People love Kevin. I'm not saying Kevin is any less beloved. I'm just saying that Derrick Henry is on a tier unto himself, right? But when I had the opportunity to think about this a little more, it just doesn't make sense to me to do it. You could lower his cap hit this year. Here's why it makes sense. If you extend Derrick before the season, this season, you can lower his cap hit for 2022. You could find money to pay other players. You could do contracts that may be waiting in the wings. As we know, there's a great many of them that are coming up this year. Jeff Simmons has a fifth-year option, so you can buy yourself a little time. But the rest of that very special 2019 draft class is in a contract year. David Long, Amani Hooker, Nate Davis, A.J. Brown's no longer here, obviously. So there are some critical players in starting roles that they'll have to make financial decisions on soon. But he doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal. And giving him additional guaranteed money, going to be 29, significant foot injury. There's no leverage there, because I saw Mike Miracles make this argument as well. That doesn't seem like a good business strategy to me. Derek is more than fairly compensated for his position, for his star power, for what they make back on Derek in marketing and in ticket sales. Derek Henry is a well-compensated running back. But there is no need, other than emotional attachment, and, you know, if you, I mean, I guess if you're trying to pull off a trade that would require substantial cap money as opposed to, you know, going out and paying Will Fuller pennies on the dollar as you try and scrounge up additional wide receiver or maybe offensive line depth, like outside of that, I don't see a reason to do it. If you do, I'd be happy to hear from you. 615-737-1045 is the number. Do you believe it to be a good or bad business decision, the idea of potentially extending Derrick Henry with 2 years left on his deal? David Ubben is also going to be here, and we'll get back into the Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban conversation with David, who covers the SEC as a whole for TheAthletic.com. A lot to get to coming up next.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Welcome back. Radio show is always presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Visit springhillac.com. Not just the radio show, all the great interviews that we do, the podcast, hell, all of it. Even Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban, presented by SpringHillAC.com today. Fortunate that we had David Ubben of The Athletic scheduled to appear this morning, and or rather this afternoon. It was just content falling into our laps, David. I hope you are enjoying this as much as we have this morning.
Well, it's May 19th, and it's usually the slowest part of the year, and we've been going nonstop for the last couple hours. So what a day, man. What a day.
What a day indeed. So let's take this piece by piece, break it down Zapruder film style. When you saw Nick Saban, I think Max Olson, your colleague, tweeted out the clip from the Birmingham business leaders function that he was speaking at yesterday, when you saw Nick Saban just come out and say, yeah, A&M bought all of their players last year, we didn't buy one, what was your initial reaction?
I don't like the tone, quite frankly. I think that people buy into this idea that that is inherently wrong, or even Jimbo was referring to is that the allegation was that he's cheating. I don't think that anywhere Saban said it was explicitly cheating, and all of their stuff did adhere to the rules. You know, A&M did have guys get some pretty good deals. And if there's quid pro quo, none of that violates state law. None of that violates the NCAA's interim policy. It gets people frustrated. It gets people saying that they can think it's a recruiting inducement. But, you know, I think people get locked up in, hey, the rules governing NCAA and college football are inherently immoral. Breaking them is not the immoral act. And I think that I just don't like the demonization or the acting like paying players is a pejorative. I really take offense to that. And that's what stuck out to me is that, hey, like, why are we acting like this is a bad thing? It's not a bad thing. Like, get out of the tunnel vision college football and look at society and the world and all those things. This should not be something that people act like is bad.
He's been doing kind of that for a while now, though, David. And you know, I mean, Nick Saban is who he is, right? And so anytime he speaks, it is incumbent upon the college football world and, frankly, the sports world to at least hear what he has to say, because it's not like he's not going about this as a hugely calculated individual. He's been on this for a while, and I do get some of the points that he's trying to make as far as what this is going to erode. But all it is, from my standpoint, is an overcorrection for the wrongs that college football has been profiting off of for many, many years. And by the way, still not paying the players. The players aren't making television dollars money off of the contracts that the SEC network. They're outsourcing the money to car dealerships and iced tea companies and things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, it's just the NCAA, and when we say the NCAA, that means the member schools, not the office in Indianapolis, which is not this sort of ivory tower. The NCAA is the schools. If the schools want to change rules, they can change them by voting them. You propose a rule, you can vote it. You can do that anytime you want. So they have sat on their hands for 20 years. You could have done this in a more orderly way. It was moving in this direction for a long time. NIL was going to be a when, not if equation. And they've done nothing. And now it happened overnight, and you have this sort of chaos. And the one thing, the one complaint from coaches that I think is very fair is no one seems to understand or know what the rules are or are not. And that's when you get into the sticky territory of what is a recruiting inducement and what is not, and how much verbal gymnastics and contract or contractual gymnastics can you do to make it not a recruiting inducement when it probably is a recruiting inducement. And that is where coaches are torn, because they don't know, you know, certainly some of what the collectives are doing, I don't disagree. It violates the spirit of what NIL was. But NIL, as it was conceived, like you mentioned, is peanuts to what players should be earning. So I kind of look at it as sort of a societal view of like, well, you guys are still keeping the real money away from it. You've accidentally backed yourself into a pay-for-play situation because of your sort of backwards legislation. And you might not like it, but I think in general, this is a moral thing. This is good for society. It is wealth redistribution. You're no longer robbing players of money that they should have had decades ago. So I have a hard time getting real out of sorts when people are like, oh, we can't be buying players. Yes, you can. And the amount, I can guarantee anybody listening to this, maybe there's some of you out there, but I bet you that you or I or many other people have not earned for our company what Bryce Young has earned for Alabama football. And people act like it's a bad thing that these guys want to get money is insane, and it is quite frankly un-American.
David Ubben of The Athletic here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're discussing the current situation around Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, and the comments made today that has created, you know, great controversy on May the 19th at college football. Look at college football out here making headlines in May. What did you make, before we move to Jimbo in all of this, David, just the phrasing that Saban used is the thing that I think irked me the most. The idea of buying players. I know that's common language in like Premier League soccer and international soccer and things like that. Maybe I'm too much harping on how that hit me, but I'm already kind of on guard against that when we go through the whole NFL draft process as somebody who covers the NFL, and it's basically a combination of a beauty pageant and a livestock show. I don't like the idea of Nick Saban being comfortable talking about, or anybody talking about, the buying of high school kids.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Even when I was spending some time with the Spire guys, when I was writing that story about them back in February, which feels like 5 years ago now, they were even saying, well, you know, it's not buying players. We tell them what their opportunities are. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, I just don't see anything wrong with, quote unquote, buying players. People want to use it as a pejorative. It is letting players earn money on their value.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to pay you something. There's no reason, there's no law, there's no compelling case for why you should not be allowed to do that. We've seen that, obviously, in the Supreme Court. I think you can feel it. I think college football has been operating for one way for a long time, and it's talked a lot of people into the idea that this is the right way to do things, that players should play for, and I'm going to try not to laugh as I say this, the love of the game, and not for money. I don't see a lot of coaches coaching for the love of the game. I don't know about you guys. Nick Saban, he does a great job. But, you know, I'm sure he loves the game. He might love it a little less if it didn't pay him $10 million a year. So I just, you know, the pejorative of buying players and all this stuff and pay for play, which is a term that's built around crime and not, you know, being compensated for your labor, which is the fundamental element of, like, capitalism and how American society operates. I just think that so much of this, like, warped morality is so baked into college football and the fan base of every team and all these things that these guys are not doing anything wrong. Like, I still, you know, these rules are bad. They need to make the rules less bad and stop villainizing people who, quote unquote, find loopholes in bad rules to allow players to earn their market value. It's insane to me.
I love the way that you've put that in context for the audience, David, just because it is so, I mean, we've had such a harsh reaction to it, and you I'm sure deal with this a lot more than we do, just having a talk show around local sports more than anything, and my primary place being with NFL coverage. But just the way that people have had such a harsh reaction to it because of the way that it has been baked in generationally, and all of a sudden the Supreme Court, the highest court in our country, unanimously, and if anybody is paying attention to anything that's happening in the Supreme Court right now, you understand just how difficult it is to get a unanimous vote on anything. That they are telling college football fans and people who have operated in this space, whether they're just kind of head in the clouds type of deal or whether they're turning a blind eye to it actively, that this stuff needed to change a long time ago. Even now, though, it's just come to this screeching halt where we're changing things up in real time. Do you think this is something that's just going to have to evolve over time, that people are just going to have to eat it? Because it's not like we're going back to what it was.
I think people have to recognize, everybody wants to talk about how polarized politically our society is, that there's only one issue, it seems, that Democrats and Republicans can agree on in America, and it's that the entire structure of college sports is entirely messed up. You have Republicans who don't like it because it's restricting the free market. You have, Democrats or liberals who don't like it because it's hurting employee rights. It's not treating people the way they should be treated. Everyone is united on this one issue, and yet there's still a lot of people willing to defend it for, I don't see a whole lot of other reason other than, well, that's the way it's always been done. Yeah, that is the way it's always been done, and it's always been done in an extremely exploitative way.
David Ubben of The Athletic is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. At David Ubben is where you can get all of the great content that he produces for The Athletic. So much great sports journalism being done there. Well worth your subscription. Let's hear a little bit from Jimbo Fisher, who decided that he wanted to go on the warpath. He instead of sitting back and waiting for October the 8th, he wanted to take it to Nick Saban today.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out.
It's my greatest professional regret, David, that I did not carry that press conference live on the air today. I said, no, it's okay. We'll get the clips after the fact. It's so stupid what I did today, David.
I was locked in, man. I that was appointment viewing for me. Man, what a time. It's May 19th, and this has been the spiciest day of the offseason.
So, what does he hope to accomplish there, David, by what he did other than blowing off steam? Because, I mean, he clearly had to get somebody to say, okay, we'll let you have this emergency press conference. I know Jimbo carries a lot of sway at Texas A&M at College Station. He has the run of the joint, it seems, of the athletic department. But what is the benefit there as you see it? Do you see one from what he had hoped to accomplish today?
I'm not sure. I think one thing, well, for one, I think he felt like they were insinuating that he was cheating, and he took exception to that on a personal level. But on a practical level, I think, he's looking at it, and this is pure speculation on my part, but it's always about recruiting. Everything in college football always comes back to recruiting. And if you have been painted as a cheating program and everybody knows you're cheating, well, the idea is that a reckoning is going to come. You're going to have your eligibility risk. Or that money is never going to end up in your actual account. These are false promises, all that stuff. And if you're out there defending your program and saying, no, what we're doing is right, I think that's a way to push back on that idea. So that's kind of my theory. I think certainly, like I mentioned, Jimbo took exception on a personal level, and he referenced that he doesn't cheat, he doesn't lie. But I think on a practical level, I think it's about, hey, this reckoning is not coming.
So With all that being said, David, because obviously, this is leading SportsCenter. They interrupted Tiger Woods at the PGA Championship on ESPN, and now like a version of Joe Buck's Manning Cast with Peyton and Eli to talk about what Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher are doing. Is this good for the sport?
Well, that's sort of a complicated question, I think. One, I think the sport has been really bad to the people that have come through the sport. and for a long time. And you mentioned all the money is in the TV, the TV deals, and players still can't touch that. So, you know, is it going to get messy for a few years? Are we going to have player movement that might hurt interest maybe a little bit? That's definitely possible. But I wrote this, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I still stand behind it. You have something that has been a very exploitive enterprise for a long time, and it's a lot more fair, and it's a lot more equitable. It's still not perfect. I still don't like that players don't get to touch any of that TV money. I don't love all the player movement. I'm not crazy about it. I don't think that helps the game. But ultimately, it's a more fair, it's a more equitable enterprise than it was a year ago. And so good for the sport. I think anything that makes something like that is good for it. So, yeah, I think good for the sport and that it's no longer quite as exploitative as it used to be. And we'll see, you know, the long-term effects of fan interest. I'm not sure where that's going to go. I think you hear a lot of people talk a lot of big talk. But I think on the field, you know, come fall, if Tennessee is, what, 5-0 and Alabama comes to town, it's going to look like every other season. And I don't know how much of this stuff is really, when it comes down to it, going to affect fan interest.
It's a completely balanced and nuanced approach from David Ubben and why you should be reading him at theathletic.com. David, I know you're busy. Thanks for taking some time today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's David Ubben with us on 104.5 The Zone. 615-737-1045 is how you can react to that. Can we play Jimbo's full comments again for people that didn't hear it earlier in the show? Because he came in hot. He came in right out the gate, and he wanted blood. And what Jimbo Fisher hoped to accomplish with doing this, I'm not quite certain. But I know that he wanted a piece of Nick Saban's ass, and he sure as hell got it.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. I know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you.
Quickly, Lucas, on the poll at Buck Rising, I think we have like 70 polls at this point. Are you Team Jimbo or Team Saban? Yes or no? Well, no, I guess that's not a yes or no. It's a Team Jimbo or Team Saban. You don't have to do it. You'll figure it out. Robert's faint laughter in the background off mic. It's aesthetically great for theater of the mind, but it pisses me off. Makes me very angry. It's not that funny. Back to the shadows. Are you Team Jimbo or are you Team Saban? 615-737-1045. Because I think I'm Team Jimbo. I think I am.
So I disagree with David Ubben, who said Jimbo is pissed off because Nick Saban is insinuating that he cheated on his way to grabbing this recruiting class. Obviously, a very emotional response from Jimbo Fisher. He went for the neck. We've never seen that in college football, at least recently. I don't think Jimbo Fisher is pissed because Saban insinuated he cheated, because Saban did not insinuate that he cheated. Saban didn't insinuate that nefarious activity was going on at Texas A&M. I think Saban is just remarking about the overall state of college football right now and the direction that it's headed and using A&M as an example. I think Jimbo's pissed off because Nick Saban's insinuating Jimbo Fisher only got this recruiting class because of NIL.
Right.
Before NIL was a thing, I was getting all the top recruiting classes when we weren't paying players, which I do think is a laughable idea that Alabama never paid a cent to a prospect to come play football in Tuscaloosa. But I think Jimbo Fisher's pissed because he's saying, hey, man, you're not the only one that can do this.
Well, and Jimbo's done it, right? Jimbo is a national championship winning coach, and he is to be respected as such. Now, he's not won at the rate that Saban has. But, I mean, listen, it is foolish to think that Nick Saban doesn't have the ego of somebody who thinks, yeah, you can't do it the way that I do it. Nobody does it the way that I do. And you know what? He's right. Like, nobody does it as dominantly as Nick Saban has done it. That doesn't mean that other people can't do it in any given season. Hell, Dabo screwed himself, because we're not even talking about Dabo in the era of name, image, and likeness, because he said he threatened to quit if players ever got paid in college football. Like, just an asinine comment by Dabo, even as I appreciate his honesty, because I think we got a raw emotional response from somebody who really doesn't believe in this stuff. And also, you can be a fool for thinking that way, because all it's going to do is tear you down when inevitably we see the kind of market correction that we've seen. And by the way, I think it's an overcorrection. I think it's an overcorrection what we're seeing. Now, I think it's good. I would prefer it to be overcorrected in this direction than as opposed to what was literally unconstitutional under the previous structure. But I would also look at Nick Saban and say, I don't think he's calculated. Saban is smart, and I believe that he thinks about his words before they leave his mouth. But I also think he said it almost casually in the way that I don't think he meant it to start a fight with Jimbo. I think he was just trying to get a message across to his people by saying, it's going this direction. I don't like it, but if we have to play this game, okay, let's play this game.
On that note, Clemson right now, barely in the top 40 in the 2023 team recruiting rankings.
I mean, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. And Dabo has no one to blame but himself. Again, I appreciate his honesty, but it can also be the thing that brings what has been something so special at Clemson to a screeching halt, because they're not equipped to play in today's day and age.
With that said, Alabama also barely in the top 40, but nobody's worried about Alabama adapting and adjusting.
They'll figure it out. 615-737-1045. Team Jimbo or Team Saban? Pick one. Zach in Nashville is up first. Hello, Zach.
Yeah, Aggie alum here. Been listening to you guys' comments. They've been great. You know, I think Saban stepped in it this time. I mean, he's usually pretty calculated per your comments, but I think he is trying to accomplish something here. I'm questioning what that is, but hey, most Aggies didn't want NIL. Saban is a guy that for a decade now has been pushing for NIL. Now that it's here, he's mad that I guess his alumni base is not as rich as some others. Like, sorry that we've got 600,000 living alums and a lot of oil money and all that stuff. Hey, we're just playing by the rules that they set up. I would love to go back to pre-NIL days, but those, you know, it's a new world now. So if we see some restrictions, we'll adhere to that. We'll adapt to that. But I don't know if I've ever heard anything more hypocritical by a czar of college football, as Jimbo called him. But everybody knows what Bama's been doing for decades now. I mean, players are coming out of the woodworks. Coaches are coming out of the woodworks making comments. And it's funny because it's like, hey, this is all provable, guy. You haven't proven anything. If we paid players, we did it, you know, up to speed per NIL rules. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting October 8th. I know that. But I don't think that many people are going to be Team Saban outside of, Bama and Gumps out there. So we'll see what happens.
Thanks for the call, Zach. 615-737-1045. We'll take more of your phone calls on this and update the polls next.
Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Go to springhillac.com.
Sure is. All the interviews today, whether it's Dan Lust, David Oven, All of the great content and conversation made possible by our friends at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We're grateful for that. If you missed any of the show today, make sure you check out the podcast. It's available in your favorite podcast app. Just search The Buck Rising Show. And while you're there, maybe leave us a 5-star rating. Maybe leave us a review. We haven't done the thing that we said we were going to do. If people leave nasty reviews about us, but leave us 5 stars, we're going to read them on the air. Have you checked any of those?
No. Do you have one?
No. I was not prepared. I just realized that we said that we were going to do that, and then we never got around to doing it, which is, you know, typical. You also said that somebody was trying to create tension within the show, but I wasn't sure what you were talking about. I didn't have my headphones on while you were trying to talk to me.
Yeah, Puka's always trying to start stuff. As we ask people, are they Team Jimbo or Team Saban, she says, Team Buck or Team Lucas? Poll.
Well, you only bring that to air because you know that the public support is going to be overwhelmingly in your favor. That's the only reason that you do that. So I'm very happy for you. Liam Neeson. Does Lucas only bring things to people's attention that are entirely self-serving?
Yes.
Yeah, at least he's honest. I appreciate that. What else is going on? Did we miss anything today? I feel like there's a lot going on that I feel like we had so much today that we didn't get to.
It's a jam-packed show.
Alexi Lalas, by the way, jam-packed show tomorrow. Alexi Lalas is going to be in studio tomorrow. He's going to be attending the Nashville SC Atlanta United game on Saturday. I will also be in attendance. Lucas will be in attendance.
Big win last night.
Yeah. We didn't talk about that. That's what I meant to
do. Then do the soccer minute.
Yeah. You want to do the soccer minute quickly, or do we have time?
Eastern Conference leaders Montreal come to town. Nashville was reeling after an awful performance on Sunday in Houston where they had a lot of squad rotation. I mean, we played Gary Smith's comments just roasting the team depth after that game. But they responded. They came out, really controlled the game in the first half, thought they were on the forefront, created the better chances. Alex Moyle with a nice individual run in the box and finished it into the top left corner to put Nashville ahead. And then an insurance goal from Hani Mukhtar in a good combination with C.J. Sapong, and Nashville gets 3 points against arguably the hottest team in MLS, the Eastern Conference leaders, Montreal, and on to Atlanta. They played Atlanta the other week in the U.S. Open Cup. This is now an MLS regular season game. So Atlanta United coming right back to town on Saturday.
I probably should not say this on the airwaves of my employer, but I plan on being incredibly inebriated on Saturday night.
What a great sentence to lead into something with.
Yeah, you know, let's do the polls.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse, because the polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's time for a poll update, and he's a good boy. Buck Rising Show producer and correspondent Lucas Panzeca.
We haven't done The Godfather in a while.
Presented by Two Rivers Ford. You can custom order any new Ford from Two Rivers. They will deliver it to you when it gets manufactured. What message does the Preds keeping David Poile and John Hines send? Puka says it sends the message that as long as you make the playoffs, we don't care. Scott echoes that. Goody says we love mediocrity.
Yeah, I mean, it sends a message to me of stagnation. And I appreciate where they're coming from, but also I can feel that they've plateaued and that does not look to be improving under the current administration. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Do you care if Texas A&M, quote unquote, bought every player, as Nick Saban suggests? 75% don't care.
I don't care at all. I think everybody should be buying as many players as humanly possible, you know, within the legal realm of NIL and not questionable trafficking situations.
The Titans are open to extending Derrick Henry, fair or foul? 69%, nice, say fair.
That's foul, kids. 69% of you are lost in the clouds, but I appreciate your homerism.
Do you like the NCAA allowing conferences to do away with divisions? So we didn't really get to this with all the Jimbo stuff, but the Pac-12 has already come out and said they're doing away with divisions this season. It'll be the two teams with the highest win percentage in conference to play for the Pac-12 title. 69%, nice, back-to-back, say yes, they like it.
69 and 69, that feels like, that just feels like a cluster to me. Anyway, we Gross. Can talk more about that tomorrow. What happened?
I'm lost because we have so many polls today.
I made a casual sex joke and you panicked. What happened?
Worst first pitch ever, Steve Aoki, 50 Cent, Dr. Fauci, or Ron Slay? 40% say it is 50 Cent, the OG.
Yeah, terrible 50,
first pitch.
50 loses.
26% Dr. Fauci, 19% Slay, 15% Aoki.
Yeah, I think 15%. I think there's a smaller percentage that has seen the Steve Aoki thing. Yeah. I watched it during one of the commercial breaks. It is damn near vertical in the air. It is laugh out loud funny.
Which are you? Team Jimbo or Team Saban? 63% are Team Jimbo.
I think I'm Jimbo, which is not typically a road that I would like to go down, other than he continues to provide us incredible content for the radio show.
Should we put it to a poll tomorrow? Who wins in a fight, Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban?
No, that's less interesting. That's like saying, would Mike Vrabel kick John Harbaugh's ass?
Well, that's not even a conversation.
I don't know. John Harbaugh's got a little crazy. Harbaugh brothers, they're crazy. It is literally in their blood. I believe them to be insane.
Yeah, don't count out crazy.
You don't mess with crazy, even as Mike Vrabel is a giant human being. Those the polls?
Those are the polls.
Excellent. That is the show. We will do it again tomorrow with Alexi Lalas, with Coach Dave McGinnis, and with you. Blaine and Mickey got you next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.